Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, speaking of keeping the lights on for you, how many of you saw that big flash of light earlier this morning, around 6:30 this morning? I see the light. I see the light. I see the light. That's an old infantryman basic training Claymore mine reference for you. But yeah, I had a lot of people telling me, I saw the light. What was that massive flash of light? Listeners in the Flathead, a listener in Shelby, somebody saw it plain as day in Cutbank. I had listeners driving through Grass Range that saw the flash of light. What was that flash of light? I'll tell you about that here in a second. But first up, we've got Montana's Speaker of the House out of Kalispell, Montana, Matt Regeer, now the president-elect of the Montana State Senate following yesterday's leadership elections. Mr. Speaker, Mr. President-elect, congratulations. Great to have you back on the show.
Well, good morning, Aaron, and good morning, Montana. It's great to be back.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking we're going to have to do our weekly update again, maybe like the last session where we'd have you on once a week, giving us the weekly update as Speaker of the House, and now you can do it. In the military, we would call this a lateral transfer. Hey, you know, you're doing such a great job as Speaker of the House. Why don't we just slide you over here, make you the Senate president now?
Yeah, it's definitely a different playbook, for sure, enough to learn that, but it's all the same game. So, yeah, looking forward to coming back on and letting your listeners know the inside details as they unfold.
I know when they have these leadership elections, not just in Washington, D.C., but back in Helena, it's within your own caucus, and it's a secret ballot. But what was your pitch as you gave your pitch, you know, because obviously you had some great competitors that were vying for the same position. What was your pitch to your fellow Republican senators on why you should be the president of the Senate?
Sure. I think we did a lot of good things last session, but we can build off of those. So there's And obviously a lot happens in 2 years, but one of them was just, and probably the big and top push that I had is just that we as a legislative branch need to stand up for ourselves. We need to be the influential voice in state politics. It's our Montana Constitution Article 7 that outlines the whole judicial branch and how the judicial branch is to operate. And in that Article 7, 22 different times it says legislature or by law. So, I mean, our constitutional duty is to provide oversight, and I think that's been definitely weak in the past, and we need to bolster our voice here in the whole legislative process.
Well, very clearly a mandate here following the elections last week. I mean, even despite the gerrymandering that was led by the Democrats, Republicans still hold an outright majority in both the state house and the Senate, and they swept every single statewide federal office as well, in many cases by double digits, in some instances by more than 20 points. Very clearly a mandate at the backs of the Republican majority in Helena. So what does that mean? What are going to be the top policy priorities? We'll talk more with the president-elect, Matt Regeer, right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to do a quick update here with president-elect Matt Regeer, and then he's able to join us till about 9:30, and then after that, we'll open up the phone lines to anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. Mr. President-elect, Mr. Speaker, again, congratulations. You know, it's been interesting that the Democrats and the media have been trying to spin it because they got so wiped out in the elections a little over a week ago. But the Democrats are trying to spin it and make it look like, oh, no, we did great. We picked up seats in the legislature, when the reality is they controlled the redistricting process. And despite their gerrymandering, they severely underperformed this election in the legislative elections as well. What's your read?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they had a liberal redistricting that redrew all the Senate and House map, and we do that every 10 years for the census. But even in the liberal media, they say that map was drawn to favor Democrats. So even the liberal media is admitting that it was gerrymandered. And even the hypocrisy that, so the Public Service Commission, that's up to the legislature to draw those maps and not a liberal redistricting commission. We use the same House districts that the liberal redistricting commission came up with, and they, the liberals didn't like it, and now they're suing us on the PSC map. So they gerrymander the House and Senate districts, but then turn around and don't like the PSC and sue us on that. So it's, yeah, it's tough. Even when you cheat and gerrymander stuff, and then you're still running behind. I mean, it's just flat out Montana's getting more, I say, conservative or logical, kind of one and the same.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mentioned this with the governor the other day, and I've talked about it a little bit on the radio. It's always been kind of tragic because if you get the governor's office and the legislature moving in the right direction, well, then Washington ends up moving in the wrong direction and vice versa. So the last time we had a President Trump, okay, Washington started moving in the right direction, making things happen, but we had a Democrat governor blocking progress back here in Montana. And then in 2020, it flipped. Washington started going in the wrong direction, but we got Montana moving in the right direction with Republican control in Helena of the legislature and the governor's mansion. Now we've got what appears to be a perfect storm with Republicans in charge in Helena and in Washington soon with President Trump. So we can get the ship going in the right direction without somebody paddling in one direction while somebody else is paddling in the other direction.
Yeah, I just want to stress that to all your listeners, that how big that was that Trump got elected just for our state and our state departments. I mean, everything from our relationship with the feds and Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to health and human services waivers. I mean, work requirements for welfare, that type of issues. We were always stymied by a liberal federal branch of government, and now we got actually an administration that's going to work with states. So we're excited about the ramifications of just the Trump election and what that does for freedom for Montanans here just on the state level.
Well, and of course, last session, I mean, you guys delivered over $1 billion in tax relief. You had the red tape relief initiative to do away with some of this red tape and bureaucratic mumbo jumbo. Now look at the DOGE that Trump is putting in place here. You know, the Department of Government Efficiency to go in and Javier Milei these clowns back in Washington and just start breaking out the red pen and cutting this, cutting that, and eliminating a lot of this waste in the federal government. And Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are going to take the lead on that. But yeah, Montana, we've been outperforming the blue states in recent years economically, second highest wage growth in the country. But we've had national economic headwinds because of the failures in Washington. So now we got a chance to get everything moving in the right direction here. Big picture, what's your policy focus looking like? What's your big picture agenda items come January?
Well, and you kind of mentioned one there of tax relief. We're running a huge structural balance surplus, and the structural balance is just what we're estimated to take in revenue and taxes compared to what it costs to operate state government. And that's a huge positive structural balance. And so it's going to be the base this year is going to be how and where do we provide the tax relief? Obviously, property taxes at the top of a lot of legislators' lists anyway. Income tax in there too, Social Security income exemption, everything from license plates. Can we make it cheaper to own your car? So that's going to be the debate going this round. I think what I saw an article where I think we were rated like the fifth in the nation for the best tax policies out of all 50 states, and I want to go to number one. And I think that's a lot of legislators' minds here too. Of let's make it cheaper and more affordable to be a Montana.
Judicial reform obviously very clearly needs to be front and center. I mean, at least that's what I'm hearing from a lot of people out there, from a lot of your fellow legislators.
Yes, our Constitution gives us 150 legislators, and there's a lot of judges that want to add themselves to that 150, and we've seen that over the last 2 years of just rulings that make opinions, not rulings, opinions that really make no logical sense. They've really overstepped their bounds on even standing, who gets standing and why, has really been just egregious. And that needs to come back into focus for sure. And it's not a war or anything. It's just judicial branch needs to be what it was chartered to be, and that's adjudicating the law and not making the law. Like with this health case, that was really a legislative hearing. I mean, you had about policy, and you had a judge there that presumed to be the House, the Senate, and the governor all in one judge, and that's not right.
Yeah, the whole concept of equal branches of government has been completely thrown out the window with this far-left activist judiciary and Montana Supreme Court that are just acting like partisan hacks on the bench. All right, hold that thought. More to follow with President-elect Regeer right after this.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's sneak in a quick phone call here before we get back to our conversation with President-elect Matt Regeer for the Montana State Senate. The leadership elections just took place yesterday. Hey, he's a former legislator, and I'm glad he's calling in to correct me on something. That's why we love taking your phone calls. John Sinrud in Kalispell. Hey, did you have a quick question or comment?
Well, Aaron, thanks for having me on. Matt, congratulations. You did a great job as a speaker, and you'll do a great job as the president. However, Aaron, you are incorrect. It is the Democrats are not in charge of the redistricting commission. It was the Montana Supreme Court that was in charge of the redistricting commission, and they've been in charge for the last three cycles in redistricting because prior to that, in 1990, the Democrats and the Republicans would actually get along, and they would pick the fifth member. And the Democrats found out through Joe Lamson that, well, we don't have to choose or agree upon it. We can allow the Supreme Court to do it in Montana. And unfortunately, Montana voters still like liberal judges on the Supreme Court. And unfortunately, Dan Wilson did not get in as a Supreme Court judge.
Yeah, except for I get the point that you make, but I would disagree with you. I don't think Montanans want liberal justices on the Montana Supreme Court. I think you had a flood of out-of-state money, dark money in particular, to prop up candidates like Bidegary to make them look moderate and to promote their name ID. I think if these candidates had a D or an R behind their name, Dan Wilson would have easily won that battle there, but his opponent benefited from a flood of out-of-state cash. Point taken about the Democrats not controlling the redistricting commission. It technically was the Montana Supreme Court, although President-elect Regeer, I think that's the same thing if you ask me. The Democrats control the Montana Supreme Court, so the Democrats still control redistricting. But point taken nonetheless. Do you think well, weigh in on that if you want to, President-elect Regeer.
John's right on that for sure, but so are you. Montana Supreme Court and liberal, you're kind of just repeating yourself.
Do you think the Democrats got the message from last week's elections in locally here in the Montana Democrat Party, in the Montana legislature in particular? Because I think they're just going to double down on some of the crazy they promoted the last session.
Yeah, that's to be seen yet. I mean, shoot, I it's hard for me to understand what the Democrat Party actually understands and doesn't. Last session we had to pass a bill that said on school-sponsored trips you could not put biological boys in the same hotel room, the same bed with a biological girl. That was happening without parents even knowing. That's the kind of legislation we had to pass, and all the Democrat Party was against that. They're for school-sponsored trips and having biological boys with girls in the same bed. And so that kind of thing does not ring with Montanans. We're obviously do not want that, and we're going that direction, and we'll see if the Democrat Party responds to the people of Montana or if they just keep going radical.
Yeah. And with CI 128, we had just one of our listeners in Kalispell just message us, will the Montana legislature look at CI 128? It's so crazy to me that if you want to amend the Montana Constitution through the legislature, you need a supermajority vote. Now, that's not crazy to me because you should need a supermajority vote if you're going to amend our Constitution, right? But if a ballot initiative is used to amend the Constitution, it only required a simple majority. I know there's legal options that are being looked at right now because of the fact that they may have changed more than one thing with CI 128. But do you see the legislature potentially looking at reining in this CI 128 radical abortion measure?
Yeah, there's some big holes in that. There's for instance, healthcare worker is not defined. I mean, that could be an EMT. So an EMT, your dentist could provide an abortion. And also there's, so how are we going to move forward with that? Also viability is not defined. We've got blanket immunity now for whatever the healthcare provider, whoever that is, a blanket immunity. So a woman can go in for an abortion, have irreversible damage done by an incompetent healthcare provider. And is there any ramifications for her? So we need to look at that of even just protecting, the woman. So yeah, there's big issues. It was drafted in a very, very, translucent way to provide, I think, judges the latitude to just, be liberal. And so, yeah, we're definitely looking at that to see, how we can make that, as palatable as you can for an initiative like that.
Your counterpart on the House side is going to be Brandon Lear out of Savage. I get a kick out of him. I love seeing him at the Montana Chambers golf tournament. There he was, cowboy hat, cowboy boots, jeans, plaid shirt. He's the same guy on the golf course as he is back in Savage. Do you see, talk about the state house and the state senate with about a minute or so before you got to run, more conservative, more moderate, or just charging forward like you did the last session?
Yeah, I think I'm excited for Speaker Lear, and you're absolutely right. He's an authentic guy. He is, what you see is what you get. He's a conservative guy, and I think it's going to be great for the Senate to be working with leadership like him in the House. So, yeah, we're looking forward to putting our conservative fingerprint on what comes out of the House, and hopefully getting our stuff passed through his chamber too.
All right. Well, President-elect Regeer, great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us. Congrats once again. And, yeah, we'll touch base about doing a weekly update during the legislative session. That's a great way to get a quick once-over on what happened during those fast-moving weeks during a relatively short legislative session. So thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Aaron. Have a great day, Montana.
All right. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, I know I've gotten a bunch of messages in on the Montana Talks app here as well. Sounds like people are getting very excited about all of the Trump cabinet picks. You know, you talk about Montana moving in the right direction. Now Washington is going to start moving in the right direction once again. This whole Department of Government Efficiency. Well, let me just do a quick once over here. President-elect Trump, this is from Fox News Radio, is rapidly assembling his team. Pete Hegseth has been here in Montana. I got to meet Pete Hegseth back in 2019. He attended a fundraiser for a veterans organization. I was actually the MC for that event, and Pete Hegseth was the keynote speaker, and we had Medal of Honor recipients at that event and more. He is the host of Fox and Friends on the weekends, and he's a fellow Army, Iraq, and Afghanistan veteran. He has been chosen by Trump to be the SecDef, to be the Secretary of Defense. And Elizabeth Warren is the biggest loser of the week. She already took a shot at Pete Hegseth. She didn't say anything about his Bronze Stars. She didn't say anything about the fact that he actually wore the uniform and is a veteran who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. But she said that, you know, because he's a weekend TV show host, that he is not qualified to be the Secretary of Defense. Oh, but somehow this woman who committed stolen valor and lied about being Native American, somehow she's still qualified to be a United States senator. Other picks that have been announced by President Trump, John Ratcliffe, the former director of national intelligence, he's going to be appointed to head up the CIA. John Ratcliffe should be great for that job. He's been calling BS on the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax since day one. He was the one who told you the not-so-breaking news that the Hunter Biden laptop was real, as other so-called intelligence officials were lying about it. And then, of course, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy heading up the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. And then there's several other great picks out there as well. Mike Waltz to be National Security Advisor. He's a Green Beret veteran, congressman out of Florida. So several great, exciting picks already being announced by President Trump. He wants to be ready to roll on day one so they can start getting this country headed in the right direction. Let's get into the phone lines here. We've got Ron in Big Fork next up. Ron, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, two federal laws I'd like to see the Trump administration get rid of. Number one, why is the FBI investigating people that make fake handbags and films and all this? That's why we have a tort system. We don't need the feds doing that on behalf of these multi-billion-dollar corporations. That needs to go. Number two, the other federal law that if you bring an environmental suit, the people that bring all these environmental suits through Judge Malloy, for instance, the federal government shouldn't pay their legal expenses. They should have to do that on their own. That's how our system is set up. So we need to get rid of those two things. And can you imagine how much money we'd save if we did that? And the third thing Trump needs to do is clean up the ATF for legitimate shooters.
Yeah.
That's all I have on that.
Yeah, good point. It'll be exciting to see who Trump puts in charge of the ATF. Or, hey, some people have even talked about just consolidating the ATF under something else anyway, right? It seems like there's some functions that they take over that could possibly be already be included under another federal agency. I mean, look, we're $36 trillion in debt, right, Ron? Like, there's a lot of stuff. There's even some stuff that may not be the worst thing in the world, but we're $36 trillion in debt. We got to trim this down.
They should have volunteers have a pallet dropped off in a big room, and they start going through the federal budget line item by line item and make recommendation what needs to go.
Hey, crowdsourcing. That's what it sounds like you're saying right there. I like that idea. That's what we love about this radio show. We get to ask you your thoughts. We get to ask you your ideas, which we're doing right now, of course. You can call in 406-294-0970. Ron, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Farm and ranch groups are expecting fairer regulations from the incoming administration as President-elect Donald Trump announces his cabinet picks, starting with the EPA and soon USDA. Former New York Congressman Lee Zeldin is Trump's EPA pick, and one Trump says will ensure fair and swift deregulatory decisions. That comes as a relief to farm leaders like Zippy Duval with the Farm Bureau, who says farmers have suffered from regulatory whiplash long enough on issues like waters of the U.S.
The back and forth between administrations is harmful to farmers. They need certainty in that area and need fairness. And, of course, we need to go back to what the original law was, the intention of what the original law was. And if we do that and give our farmers clarity and certainty, we'll be able to abide by that.
At the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Ethan Lane expects the new administration to dismantle much of the Biden EPA's climate agenda, but will challenge ag in other ways.
We don't expect to see the same focus on some of those climate-focused issues as we've seen over the last 4 years, although we know that people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and others have a place and a voice in Trump land, and that's going to bring, I think, some new conversations on food production, on vaccine use, things like that. Those are going to be new wrinkles that production agriculture is going to need to think about.
It's still uncertain who and when a Secretary of Agriculture name will be put forward. I'm Lane Nordlund. In Montana.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I love this. The Doge. Do you guys call your dog the Doge? Do you and your kids make the same joke? Where's that Doge? Come on, Doge. Well, this is the, not your dog. This is the Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency. One of our listeners just included me in on this conversation on X a little bit ago here. Ray Bruns, thanks for tagging me on this one. Vivek Ramaswamy says this about Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency. Doge will soon begin crowdsourcing examples of government waste, fraud, and abuse. Americans voted for drastic government reform, and they deserve to be a part of fixing it. You know, since we're crowdsourcing, which means we want your examples, we the people can give them examples of the government waste, fraud, and abuse. You know, any of these federal bureaucrats who were pushing these perks for the American Prairie Reserve at the Bureau of Land Management, anybody who was a part of that, who was pushing that, who was trying to prop up the APR at the expense of American ranchers, at the expense of Montana ranchers, any one of those people are a clear example of waste, fraud, and abuse, if you ask me. Let's go next on the phone lines. We got Joe in Wolf Point listening to KVCK. Thanks for the call, Joe. What's on your mind?
Well, it's just my wish list for Ramaswamy and Musk on their wasteful government spending would be to cut the paid holidays of government workers back to what the private sector gets. Maybe we get 6 or 7 paid holidays and the government gets 14, 15 probably. How much money is that a day paid to government workers on every holiday that they get that the private sector doesn't? And that's just, I wish they would, it's not fair that we have to pay for them to have a day off, you know.
Although some of them, you'd rather they were taking the day off because that means they weren't actively working against you that day, right? But, I mean, you know, like some of these government agencies, it's like, okay, hey, why don't all of you guys go take the day off instead of undermining small business, instead of trying to tax us more, instead of trying to cost us more with regulations? I mean, Tracy Stone Manning, hey, take a paid vacation for the next 2 months if you want to, instead of causing more harm at the helm of the Bureau of Land Management, right?
Well, and there's just some of them that maybe, like Musk said, he's going to cut 80% of government jobs. So, you know, there's so many of them that don't even need to be, you know. And another, I guess another thing is I hope Trump comes through with his promise on cutting taxes on overtime. You know, that would be huge for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Over cutting taxes there. No tax on tips. Think about what that'll do for, you know, the waiters and the waitresses out there and so many other folks who rely on tips for income. We're going to start to see a lot of good things. I mean, he's already, the way he is announcing these cabinet picks is it just shows that he is not going to waste 1 second in this 47th presidency here. And I hope there's that same violence of action, as they would refer to it, out of both the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate now as well. Hey, Joe, great to hear from you. Thanks for listening to KVCK. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. What about the latest numbers when it comes to control for the U.S. House of Representatives? Gary in Billings had asked me that question earlier, and I didn't have the latest numbers in front of me. But we may now. President Trump is speaking with members of Congress this morning already. Here's the latest breaking news report.
They say he appeared very relaxed, sharing a message of unity, talking about policy priorities. And even though right now there are still some remaining races left to be called, Republicans are poised to maintain control of the House. That gives the president-elect the trifecta he needs to pursue his agenda and do so quickly. He shared a message of gratitude to the members.
So I just want to thank everybody. You've been incredible. We worked with a lot of you to get you in, and you helped me, and you helped me too.
Trump did receive a standing ovation, and on policy, one thing he said that earned cheers was that his administration is going to carry out, quote, the largest deportation operation in history.
Ah, there you go, there you go. And the question that needs to be asked of these city leaders in places like Bozeman and Missoula, we've struggled with transient crime, we've struggled with illegal alien crimes. Will these liberal-led cities like Bozeman and Missoula, will they stand in the way, or will they help clean up our cities? It's a question that needs to be asked, because the Democrat governor of Illinois and Democrat-led cities in California, New York, and Illinois, in some of those towns, they're already pledging to fight any effort to deport these criminal illegal aliens. And, well, let's just say Tom Homan said it best. Let me see. I think he was on Fox News at night. I'll just play the short version of the great remarks he had to share.
Sanctuary cities are sanctuaries for criminals. Bottom line. So if they don't want to help, then get the hell out of the way.
If you don't want to help, then get the hell out of the way. Let's see. Let's go to James in the Flathead. James, what's on your mind?
I have a kind of a two-part question. Now, God bless you, and thank you for your service to the country, sir. I met you
when you were up here at Sykes,
and it was wonderful. Hypothetically, now, if I were harboring a felon in my house, I would be breaking the law, correct?
Well, it would sound like aiding and abetting, right?
Absolutely. Now, take a look at these people in, say, Missoula and Bozeman. If they're going to impede the Trump administration's desire to get rid of these criminals, are they not complicit?
That's what I would say. Throw them behind bars. If they get in the way of these efforts to deport criminal illegal aliens, they are aiding and abetting criminals. Put them behind bars.
Right, but are they not only guilty of aiding and abetting, but are they not complicit in the crimes that these felons committed? Is that not correct?
Well, I tell you,
and I'd like to listen to your
thanks for the call, James. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a caveman, so I can't give you the lawyer's. I'm just a caveman. I'm not a fancy lawyer. But if we had David Noble here, he could probably give you the exact legal definition. Well, it is because of this, or well, it's not technically because of this legal definition. But I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a caveman. But I'll tell you what, I think when most of us look at, if they stand in the way of getting these criminal illegals, these rapists and these murderers off our streets, sure as hell sounds complicit if you ask me. James, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's see. We got another big guest on the phone lines right now. Let me sneak on Jim in Kalispell first. Jim, what's on your mind?
Good morning, man.
Hey, good morning.
I wanted to talk about property taxes, at least in the state, for farmers and ranchers. I think with all the new building that's going on, especially up here in the Flathead, I'm seeing a lot of prime agriculture land get wiped out.
Same thing in Billings. They take all the irrigated land on the West End, and that's where the development's taking place. It's kind of tragic, isn't it?
What I'd like to see, at least at the state level, what we can control, is give these guys a break on property taxes for any land that stays in production. And maybe that's the incentive they need to hang on to their land and continue to farm.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, there's already incentives in place right now to keep land in agricultural production, but maybe we need more incentives in place. I mean, that's why a lot of people were concerned that the death tax might come back next year. That should be dead now with the elections at the federal level. Jim, I'm glad to hear from you. I'm glad you sound to be doing well. I know the elections didn't go your way, but I was worried when that flash I was worried that flash of light might have taken you into the sky earlier this morning.
I was a ticket splitter this time. I did not vote for Trump. You know, I'm not a fan.
Oh, okay.
But I did vote for Dean Forte.
You did? Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Why not Bussy?
He's done a good. What's that?
Why not Bussy?
Well, I don't know anything about him, and I think the state's being run well, so you don't fix what works.
That's very interesting. So, yeah, so now you weren't a ticket splitter before, but you did this time.
Yes, sir.
Wow, that's very interesting. Wow. And of course, no need to call me sir. That's very interesting. Well, Jim, great to hear from you. Yeah, I enjoyed talking with Jim on the radio here. I remember back when in the 2012 presidential race, he was predicting that Obama would win Montana back then. So I've enjoyed chatting with Jim since that point. But that's interesting. He ticket split, voted for the first time, voting for the Republican for governor. Jim, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. We've got the Speaker-elect, Speaker of the House-elect, Representative Brandon Lehr, just called in. We'll go to the Speaker-elect right after this.
Yo. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this was just classic. We were at the Montana Equipment Dealers annual meeting in Whitefish, and then a few of us were out on the golf course afterwards, and I'm not a good golfer at all. But anyway, there's Representative Brandon Lehr on the golf course in Whitefish, and he's got his cowboy boots on, his cowboy hat, plaid shirt, jeans. He's the same guy in Savage, same guy in Whitefish, same guy in Helena. Anyway, Speaker-elect. Brandon Lehr, congrats on your election yesterday, and thanks for calling into the show.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on. Yeah, well, I guess what was your pitch to your caucus, or what do you want to tell folks all across Montana?
Well, the pitch to the caucus was, you know, we want to reduce spending and, you know, kind of alleviate some of the tax burden on Montanans, protect Montana's families and the next generation, protect our constitutional rights, look for ways to make government work better for us and more efficient and more accountable. Just be conservative.
How do you see this legislative session shaping up compared to the last legislative session? I kind of just threw out the general question to President-elect Matt Regeer. More conservative caucus, more moderate, or continuing on down the track with the progress that you got last session?
I think we're definitely, you know, our caucus is about the same as it was last session. With redistricting, we lost 10 seats. We lost 10% of the power we had. We don't have a supermajority anymore. Sure, it makes it a little tougher for us to get legislation through, but I think it's also going to create a little bit more of a cohesive caucus to where we're going to have to work together to get the stuff through.
What are the big agenda items, do you think? I mean, we talked about judicial reform in particular. Very clearly, we have a Supreme Court and some of these liberal judges here at the district level even who don't believe in this concept of we the people, who don't believe in equal branches of government. They think that if they don't like something, they just get to throw it out.
Yeah, no. And, with the radical reach of the judicial branch, as Speaker, I'm not going to be afraid to flex the muscle and the power that we hold as the legislature. And the judicial branch holds nothing over me. And as the House, we're willing to work with the other branches, but not for the other branches.
What do you think that was the message and the mandate from last Tuesday?
I think that as a state, we delivered. I think that in, you know, the state house, redistricting really hurt us. But just across the nation, the message was that
liberal, you know, liberal ideas are not welcome.
Do you think the Montana Democrats, your counterparts on the other side of the aisle, got that message? Because it seems like, you know, nationally, you're even seeing like MSNBC and CNN kind of have this reckoning that, hey, we got it wrong. I don't see that yet out of the Montana media or even the legislative Democrats. They're still trying to spin this into some sort of a victory.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, we've had talks about that, and they, you know, they believe that they had, you know, some major win with picking up 10 seats. But if there wouldn't have been redistricting, they wouldn't have picked up them 10 seats that they now hold. And I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I haven't had a real in-depth conversation with their incoming leadership, but well, I guess we'll have to see what the session holds, and I guess just defend our constitution, or not constitution, defend our conservative views, and hopefully we can push that agenda forward.
All right. Well, let's see. Speaker of the House-elect Brandon Lear out of Savage. Oh, I was going to get to a caller in Helena, but looks like we lost that caller. That's all right. He's deferring his time to you. With about, you know, 2 minutes to go here before we run out of time, what do you want to hear from We the People? What do you want Montanans to be doing over the course of the next month and a half? You know, these lawmakers are going to be home. They're going to be back home for the holidays. They're already, you know, getting bills drafted and ready to roll, because that's a fast-moving session. One thing starts in January, it's boom, boom, boom. So now's the time for We the People to carry that clear message forward to every single one of their lawmakers.
Absolutely, and I think you just said it right there. Be involved. Get in touch with your local legislators. Voice your opinions. Let them know what you would like to see out of them this upcoming session, and just work with them. You know, we're always open at the, up here in Helena, you know, to write in and, you know, voice your opinion on a said bill or, you know, said process. But the most effective way is to get in touch with your local, the person that represents you, your legislator or your senator.
All right. Well, Mr. Speaker, congratulations. And, hey, same offer I threw out to President-elect Regeer. Hey, during the session, if you want to join us, maybe for a weekly update or something like that, we'd sure love to free up some time for you.
Yes, absolutely. We appreciate that. Thank you very much, Aaron.
Hey, thank you. Okay, with the 30 seconds to go here, what is taking place on Capitol Hill with the Senate leadership in Washington, D.C.? Alex Bolton with The Hill says there will be a second ballot to determine the next majority leader. He's quoting a source familiar with the first round results. Thune at 23, Cornyn at 15, Scott at only 13. So apparently there will be a second ballot to determine if Alex Bolton's source is accurate there. All right, we're out of time for today. We'll take your calls and more on Thursday's show.